What's my hesitation to have kids? Great question. I would say it's that I have a nephew and I love my nephew so much that I'm hesitant that I may have kids and then they won't measure up to Marty. And yeah, I said that to my ex-girlfriend. She goes, that's ridiculous. She goes, that's like never getting married because you're afraid you meet someone better. And I'm like, I'm glad you understand. I'm extremely dyslexic, sir. And when I was a kid, I was in special ed all through school. My mom would do all my homework, all my projects. And then they still put me in special ed. And my sweet mom would always say to me, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed about being in special ed. And I'm glad she felt that way, because technically, she was in it too. And I was really... It's wild. If your mom does your homework, parent-teacher conferences, it's like a different... It's a different vibe. So teacher would be like, I think Phil needs to put in more effort. And my mom would be like, how dare you? He's working full-time. He's raising three kids. He is... He's a modern woman. Dyslexia is tough because you don't see it coming. I had no idea, you know? Like, kindergarten went well, girls, very well. And I arrived in the first grade and just everyone started reading. I'm like, nah, I'm going to stare out the window for a decade. But you guys, you do your thing. Six, I found out I wasn't going to learn how to read at six. That is young. To get bad news about the future? Six? That's like pulling a kid aside and being like, hey, there's a good chance you're going to be a degenerate gambler. He's like, what are the odds? Okay. Did you two hear that one? Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, it's just... It was kind of a perfect joke, and I looked over and it was like, staring at the painting American Gothic. So I would love to just, yeah, if you guys could just step it up while I pursue my dream. Third grade. The teacher was old and she learned to teach before dyslexia was invented. So she didn't think it was a thing. She thought it was something that people made up to get attention, like a gluten allergy. She'd make the whole class read, and then it would be my turn, and I'd be like, I can't read, it's the same situation as yesterday. And she would say, sound it out. Even as a kid, I'm like, yeah, that's just reading. You know, like, it is so insensitive to tell a dyslexic child to sound it out. It'd be like if someone pulled you aside and was like, hey, I can't eat this, I'm deathly allergic to peanuts, and you're like, chew slowly. One time, so this is gonna break your heart. There's no way you can handle this. One time I'm trying to read, I'm in third grade, I'm sputtering on the syllables. I can't read. She stops the whole class. She's like, Philip, if you can't read and you can't write, how are you gonna pay your bills when you're an adult? Yeah, and I wish I knew then what I know now, because I'd just be like, talking shit about you. In the eighth grade, I'm going to go through all the grades. In the eighth grade, they tested my reading, and then they come back and they're like, you're reading at a first grade level. And I have no idea why they needed to be so specific and so cruel. I don't feel like they do that in other situations in life, you know? Like if you're a grown man and you go to get a physical, the doctor's never like, hey, you're in perfect health, but by the way, you have the penis of a 9-year-old. Sir, I just noticed you. I just noticed your hat. Yeah, freezing in here. Are you with your girlfriend?
Friend.
Oh. We're just friends. I know, it's probably the hat, right? How did I cope with dyslexia in high school? Great question. I took a lot of acid. I took more acid than everyone in this room combined. And I'm not just saying that because I am not getting a cold vibe from you guys. The greatest thinkers of all time took acid. Our savior, Jerry Garcia. Steve Jobs. Myself. And this is a little side note. One time I was high on acid and I just came up with this idea. It just came to me for the 64 gig iPod. It was like I was God's vessel. It just like... It's about a decade after it had been invented, but people always like, can you imagine what the world would be like without Steve Jobs? I'm like, we'd be fine, all right? The second greatest idea that I ever had on LSD, I was at my parents' place. My friends and I were there, we were partying. I was high on acid. And I came up with this idea, it just came to me. I was like, we should party in my mom's bathing suits. I thought it would be hilarious. I thought it would be surreal. And I was correct. My friends went first. We were teenagers, but they already had man bodies, right? So when they put the bathing suit on, like the party just like elevated. Picture the show RuPaul's Drag Race. Only the cast, the dudes that stormed the Capitol. Yeah. We were taking back my parents' kitchen. And then it was my turn. And I realized, I'm like, oh, this is a huge disaster because I was very thin and I was very insecure about being thin. Like one time I said to my mom, I'm like, Ma, I'm skinny. I hate it. She goes, skinny, dear, no. You're elegant. I'm like, Ma, I don't feel like a man. She's like, a man, son, you're a young Audrey Hepburn. You really are. So I put my mom's bathing suit on and the party just stopped. Like, my friend's jaws dropped. There is no worse feeling in life than trying to be hilarious and it turns out you're just incredibly sexy. What I always like to... Does anyone here teach special ed?
No.
No? Okay. Just the one dude that's in it. All right. Okay. Thought I recognized you. Is there anyone here that's a regular teacher? Oh, over there? What do you have against kids with disabilities? What do you teach? Sociology. Oh, to children. To what?
To undergrads.
To undergrads. Okay, so technically could be children, right? If you're like... To high school students?
No, to NYU students.
Oh, okay. Cool. I don't know an undergrad. I just talked about how I can't read. But so before they go to college, you teach them? Okay. You know what, I'm going to film another special in a few years, so don't feel guilty about what you've done. Well, that's good, though, teaching rich kids, that's great. Well, special ed teachers, they do what you do, only not as an elitist. They, what about, is anyone just like a regular teacher here? Oh, right, perfect. I was looking at you, I was like, you look so nice, and I could see. What do you teach?
I'm a librarian.
A librarian, okay, cool. So you shouldn't have put your hand up. What's that? You do teach? You don't teach people like me, I can't read, lady. All right, I think I made that. No, I'm just kidding, I was just kidding. That's for the special, that's gonna be killer. I have a lot of dyslexic fans, and they really want to see me tee off on a librarian. That's just... Yeah, a lot of people... A lot of people here have learning disabilities. Some people, you know, wear it on their head, but... I owe you big time. No, of course, a librarian. So, but sometimes, do you have kids with learning disabilities and you help them?
I give them audiobooks.
You give them audiobooks. Oh. Yeah. Okay, let's just focus on, it's my night. But that's incredible. Because before, people weren't very sensitive to, all right. But now they're, okay, cool. All right. Feels like we're flirting. I always stop my show. I always salute special ed teachers because it's just such a noble occupation, and I feel like no one knows how complicated it is. Like, there's only 6 kids in the class. That's 5 different learning disabilities, right? And then there's always just, like, someone that should be incarcerated. There was this kid in my class. His name was Russell Foote. And we were in the 7th grade. He was like, I don't know, like early 30s. And he was so sexually advanced that to this day, I will be with a woman and intimate. You'd relate to this more if you didn't, whatever. All right, so. I'll be with a woman and she will stop me and she'll be like, whoa, where did you learn that? And I have to be honest to be like, special ed. I do, even though I struggled in school, I didn't have a librarian like you in my life till tonight. And I had a terrible schooling experience, yet I still feel like teachers should be paid more. Right? Oh, okay. All right. Couple Democrats. I feel like they should be paid more and then sleep with their students less. I really... Oh, Jesus Christ, there's... That's an epidemic, lady. It's not funny. That's epidemic. Teachers hooking up with high school students. I saw a whole documentary about it on Pornhub. I never saw that. Sir? Did you see that in school? Teachers hooking up with students? Never? Okay. We're going to switch you guys out in a second. How about you, sir? If anyone had sex with a teacher, I swear to God, you see, like...
Close.
Really? You, did you kiss a teacher?
No, she was, you know, showed some signs.
Showed some signs? Fucking zoom in. Yeah. What were the signs? This is fascinating, sir.
She gave me like edits of my paper. She said at my desk, like ass on the desk.
Will you relax? I got this. All right. First off, edits on your paper. I don't know if that's... Oh, the way she sat, really?
No one else got that.
No, really?
Yeah.
Was she wearing like a skirt?
Yeah, like tight jeans or a skirt.
Oh, Jesus, I'm getting hard. And then... you guys fucking... So judgy. By the way, psychology teacher, we're gonna have to read into this whole thing. What? Sociology. You make up your mind. All right. So, really? So, whoa. Did the other person that looked like you, did he man up? I mean, did he, did anyone have sex with her?
No, we were 14. We didn't know anything.
When I was 14, man. No, I didn't. That's wild to me. It blows my mind. I never saw that. Of course, I was in special ed, and they never bang the special ed students. That's sad. We want to be treated like everyone else. You know what I mean? Hat, did you fuck your teacher? What about you, sir? Did you go to college?
I did.
Oh, cool. What did you study?
Entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship. Wow, you say that weird.
I'm from Italy.
Oh, you're from Italy. Okay, don't make excuses. Well, that's great. Then you went to school in Italy?
No, here.
Oh, in America?
Yeah.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm from Canada. Did I mention? I feel like it's obvious I'm Canadian. I kind of walk around like I've had free healthcare my whole life, right? I'm not worried about getting a cold, for example. Does that translate, Italy? I lived in Italy.
Where?
Well, first off, we're not on a first date. I couldn't go to college, sir. You know I can't read. I became a model. I was a model, and you mean motherfucker. Guy, he's laughing that I'm a model. By the way, he didn't fuck his teacher, okay? I was a model, sir. And people don't believe me. That's fine. But there was a fashion trend. It was a long time ago. It was called Heroin Chic, and... I remember hearing about it when I was a kid. They're like, we want guys that look like they do drugs. And I'm like, look like you do drugs. I'm going to do you one better. It's hard to say you're a model. I said that to my gay friend. He goes, it's harder to tell people you're gay. I'm like, I don't think so. Because I feel like sometimes you tell people you're gay, and they're just like, yeah, I knew it. You know? That never happens when I tell them I was a model. People always want to just see pictures to prove it, you know? But it doesn't happen when you tell them you're gay. You never like, Dad, I'm gay. He's like, son, I need to see some pics. All right. So I was the ugliest model, yet I did big jobs. Like, I did fashion shows for Armani. And if you do a fashion show for Armani, and none of you ever will... It's wild. It's intimidating. He is there. Giorgio. I call him Giorgio. And he was super intimidating. And then he had all these assistants. And they were really intimidating, too, because they're like these like really cool, suave Italian gay guys. They were like, picture a gay mobster. That was their vibe. They were like gay mob. And they kind of had gay mob nicknames, too, like Giuseppe the Bottom and Giuseppe the Top. And what was my first outfit in a fashion show? Great question, my Italian brother. Gray suit, mesh tank top. Armani's like, put this on and look confident. I'm like, just, you can only pick one. I'm Canadian, we're not mesh people, you know? We're modest people. I don't think there's a word for mesh in Canada. Loosely translated, you call it hockey net. So I was a model for like 4 years. I didn't tell anyone in my hometown. I didn't tell anyone. How they found out was there's a gay magazine in Canada. They did a little profile on me, and in it referred to me as a tasty twink. Everybody saw it. But I was impressed. My friends, they weren't homophobic. They didn't question how flavorful I may be. They were just like, you were a model. What's it like hooking up with female models? And after 4 years, I gotta admit, I was so curious. Milan. You've been looking at me since I came on stage. My ex-girlfriend, she was Indian, probably still is. And the whole time we were together, people would find out she's Indian, and they'd say to me, they'd be like, Native American or from India. First off, rude. Secondly, I will look into that. She broke up with me in a text. Yes, that is cruel to do to anyone, but particularly to a dyslexic. The reason we broke up? Great question. Her mom didn't approve of me because I didn't go to college. Which is frustrating, because I feel like if the mom got to know me, she'd realize that is the least of my problems. I think, sir, may I speculate?
Go ahead.
I think the mom might not have liked me just because I'm white, which is ridiculous, because, like, what have we done to anybody? There was an Indian guy in the crowd the other night, and he told me that if I made 50% more money than my ex, then the mom would approve of me. But I feel like if I made 50% more money than my ex, I'd probably just date someone else. You know what I mean? This is the heartbreaking part. We had a dog, and in the breakup, she got the dog. Yeah, we had a golden retriever. And you guys know me, I don't see race, but I think we all know that's a white dog. Sir, I wanted a dog. My whole life. My whole dyslexic life. I have a learning disability. I'd ask my parents for a pet, and they would always say, well, what would we do when we travel, right? Then we never went anywhere. The whole time. My friend's like, were you lonely without a dog? I'm like, no, I was busy preparing for this voyage. Last time I'm home, my mom... out of the blue, she goes, dear, we should have gotten you a dog. Yeah, that hurts if you're hanging out with your family. They start brainstorming ways you could have been a better person. Same trip, I don't know where my mom goes, when we get old, I hope you don't put us in a home. And I was like, well, what will I do when I travel? Just a side note, I get so uncomfortable talking about race because I am from Canada and we don't have racism there. We decided not to. I know you guys kind of went the other direction on that. Part of the reason we don't have racism is climate, right? It's a climate situation. Canada's cold, right? The KKK, they wear sheets. You couldn't do that. You can't wear a sheet in like Winnipeg. You freeze your ass off, you die. You'd have to wear blankets. It's impossible to hate anyone when you're cozy. You know who hates that joke? Canadians. They're like, we have racism. I'm like, all right. It's a weird thing to be defensive about, but yeah, all right, sure. Sir, do you live with your girlfriend? Is that your girlfriend?
My sister.
Your sister. Okay. Whoa. Okay. I thought his sister was his girlfriend. Okay, that could end a lot of comedy careers. I got it. How long have you been hooking up with your sister? Thank you. Before my Indian ex-girlfriend, I lived with a woman. I think we all know that living with someone is the best, right? I mean, it's right up there, just under living by yourself. She was a psychotherapist, both things separately. What a noble occupation. She would just like help people with their problems all day. Then she'd come home and kind of do the opposite. And I'm not saying if you're a chef, you should be expected to come home and then prepare like a 9-course meal. But this was a situation where the chef would like come home, right? Then murder the family. She was really new agey, like into all this like new age stuff. Do you know what I mean, sir, by new agey? Like aromatherapy and crystals, horoscopes, right? Like white woman sorcery. And like one time after we were intimate, she goes, "That's the type of sex we had in a past life." And I'm like, "Okay, did you make it weird back then too? Have you been ruining this forever?" So she was a regular therapist, and then she went to school to be a sex therapist. Now, when you tell people that someone is a sex therapist, people always assume that that person is really good in bed, which is the equivalent to hearing high school gym teacher and thinking, incredible athlete. Their first day in sex therapy school, right? They watched porn, pornography, in school. She came home and she told me that they watched porn in school, and for the first time in my dyslexic life, I felt so scholarly. I thought, wow, I've been homeschooling myself for years. They watched something called ethical porn, which is a real genre of porn. It's, the whole thing is that it's supposed to be very PC, like super politically correct. Like, for example, they'd never be like, "Who's your daddy?" They're like, "Who is your non-gender-specific role model?" And it's like, it's hot. Ethical porn is written and produced by women, so it's chatty. There's subplots and character development. Which I really like, because I'm like a romantic guy. And I like the idea of like a woman in, say, an abandoned warehouse just gradually getting to know 12 guys. Like, to me... What do you do? We haven't even chatted.
I'm in fashion.
In fashion, okay.
I'm also from Canada.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. Please see. Where in Canada are you from?
Vancouver.
Vancouver, that's where I'm from. Yeah, well, I thought I was a bit of a name around town. Yes. But you live in America now?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It's hard for Canadians to immigrate here, right?
No.
No? Okay, good. So weird. I was talking about my ex-girlfriend, and you are reminding me of her. Do you have your green card? Oh, okay, yeah, it's pretty easy when you're illegal. You have a student visa?
I'm not illegal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Again, I was kidding.
I'm not a student either.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool. Well, you know what, I'll just read your LinkedIn. Let's, but I want to thank you, I'm just kidding. Thank you for coming to the show.
Love.
Okay.
So fun.
Oh, cool.
We're friends with the videographer.
You're friends with the videographer? Okay, cool. Well, this is the last time he's going to work in this city again. Yeah. Yeah, he's... No, I'm just kidding. I'm only... Oh, okay.
Just, I don't take it personally.
Oh, good. Okay, well, maybe a little bit, but... I can see why you're fashion. You look very stylish.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
So do you. I love your outfit.
Okay, cool. All right. It would help me to get back into the act if I could have the last word. All right, so... But thank you. You've been, honestly, I've been watching you. This is what I would say, and please don't respond. I would say, can I describe you? I would say, very stylish, great audience member.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, no, stop. Now let's move on. All right. I'm kidding, I'm joking. Let's go. Let's really do this, all right? Let's get out of here. Let's grab our sisters and get the fuck out of here. But this is what happens, right? If I meet a woman, I'll be enthusiastic. I'll tell my friends. Immediately, they're like, what's her Instagram? I want to check her out. That is so creepy. You know what I mean? You couldn't do that 20 years ago. You'd be like, what's her address? I want to go look in her windows. All right. There was a study. It was a scientific study, and I read it. And it took a long time. The study said unstable women were better in bed. A team of scientists conducted the study that I had been working on my whole adult life. I find those results, it's disheartening. Because there is an expression, right? It's lady in the streets, freak in the sheets. Now, I've never experienced that. I have experienced freak in the sheets causing a huge scene in the streets. What men are better in bed? This study said, scientific study. What men are better in bed? Dyslexics. Fauci said it. He went on, he's like, illiterate in class, but we'll work that ass. I dated a woman. As we started dating, she was going through a divorce. Ooh, is correct. That's like moving into a house that's on fire. And then I was stuck. You can't break up with someone while they're going through a divorce. You know what I mean? She comes home from court. She's like, "What? My life could not get worse." I'm like, "Give it a second, babe." The first time we were intimate, right when the sex process starts, she goes, "You better not finish quickly." And I thought, okay, thank you for the pep talk. I was so taken back. I would never tell a woman when to have an orgasm, ever. There's been a few times during sex I've thought to myself, chop, chop. She was a little bit older, and once, like just out of the blue, she said to me, she goes, "Women my age do not perform oral sex." She said that, and I knew that was a lie because I had just watched a documentary about that on Pornhub. I dated a woman and she had pierced nipples, and that's how I got used to those weird metal straws. It's sexting, sir. That is the challenge. For a dyslexic man, for me to send a sex, I gotta type it on my phone. It takes a long time. I gotta take a screenshot. I gotta get proofread by mother. I had a woman send me a sex. All it said was, it just said, "I just got lasered down there." And I was kind of turned on, which is weird because I'm not even a big sci-fi guy. I was dating a woman. She was a strong feminist. And when we would sex, obviously I wanted to turn her on, but I also wanted her to know that I was an ally. Like one time she sexted me. She's like, "How are you going to fuck me?" I'm like you deserve an equal wage. Once she sent me a topless photo, and then she followed up and asked me if I'd masturbated to it. To a still photo. What am I, a World War II GI? I feel like that is a skill we have lost over the generations, you know what I mean? Oh, sure. Back in the day, you could get a topless photo and skedaddle yonder and pleasure yourself for a fortnight. Now I get a topless photo. I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? Hang this in a museum? What? I'd say the craziest statistic, sir. Great question. The craziest statistic I heard about the pandemic was apparently at the beginning, masturbation went up 150% at my place. I woke up one day at the beginning of the pandemic with what appeared to be herpes. I am not about to make fun of herpes based on the vibe change right there. I'm sensing that most of you have it. But what I will say is I have OCD, so this situation was like, yeah, I freaked the fuck out. I basically left my place and ran to the clinic. And on my way there, I decided I'd rather have COVID than herpes. And I know you can die from COVID, but if you have herpes, can you really live? Like that moment when you're with a woman for the first time and you go to get a condom, a Magnum. And she's like, don't worry about it. I'm on the pill. You'd have to be like, okay, I won't worry about it, but you should be shitting yourself. I get to the clinic. Doctor puts me in the little room. I pull my pants down. He starts examining me thoroughly. And I am so uncomfortable because I don't take compliments well. And I think it's inappropriate for a physician to use the phrase, ooh la la. He's down there for a while. And then he pops up and goes, your doctor will be in a minute. Who the fuck was that man? You know what I mean? Then the actual doctor saunters in, old sloppy seconds MD. He starts tooling around down there. I have OCD. I'm freaking out. Instead of comforting me, he starts throwing around like doctor jargon, like, nice piece. Finally, he's like, he goes, I don't think it's herpes. Let's leave it and hope it goes away. Yeah, he prescribed hope. Unacceptable in any profession. If you, like, work at a restaurant and the customer's like, I'll have the chicken, the dude can't be like, yeah, fingers crossed. Let's really. So I left. I took the healing process upon myself. I went. I got every ointment and cream. Put it on. Situation got about, I don't know, 95% worse. I had to go to the hospital during the pandemic. I get there. This time it's a female nurse. She's very attractive. She puts me in the little room. I pull my pants down. She takes her wedding ring off. She goes, you have a yeast infection. And then corrected herself quickly and goes, oh, I'm mad. It's called jock itch. Which, that's what it was, and I'm fine. But I was so taken back. To me, that seems offensive. It seems really sexist that a man and a woman can have the same problem. And on a woman, it's called a yeast infection. They took the two nastiest words in the English language. They push them together. They imply she had sex with a sandwich. And then men, they're like, jock itch. If you're like, that dude's got jock itch, I'd be like, wow, he must be in great shape. I appreciate you guys coming to the show. Librarian, hypothermia, I love you. It means so much to me. When people come to comedy shows, it means so much to me. My sweet parents, my dear parents, have only ever seen me perform once. Which, that makes them sound unsupportive. They're very supportive, but to my brother, because he's a lawyer. They saw me perform once. It was at the Comedy Cellar, and I was, like, really nervous to perform in front of my parents. And then right before I went on stage, All of a sudden, Dave Chappelle walked into the club. When Dave Chappelle walks into a comedy club, people lose their minds. They cheer, they high five. Opposed to when I walk into the club, people play it cool. It's like a respect thing. So Chappelle walks in and he decides that he wants to go on immediately, right? So that means that I have to follow Dave Chappelle, maybe the most famous comedian on the planet, in front of my parents. I was sour. I was sitting thinking, I hope someday my brother's got to follow Judge Judy. Chappelle goes on stage. He's so confident. He's so chilled. He sits down. He smokes. He's killing the crowd with secondhand smoke. He's up there for an hour. He does a full hour. Then he stops and he says to the crowd, and I promise you this is exactly what happens. He stands up on the stool and he goes, I should take all you guys back to my hotel and have a party. Yeah, he said that. Then he did that. He walks out and all you guys follow him out. Past me. I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, well, I guess, you know, there's going to be no show. And the manager grabs me and goes, no. There's two people left in the crowd. And they want to see the rest of the show. And you know who those two people were? Not my parents. They went to Chappelle's party. It was a dude and his sister. No, it was my parents. And they were sitting right in the front. And you can perform in front of two people. I've done it. But you got to riff. You got to do crowd work. I can't do crowd work with my parents. I can't sit there and be like, do you guys got kids? They're like, yeah, one. He's a lawyer. Thank you guys so much.
Sky on your mind.